Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning. Oh, indeed, it is a good morning. 7:06, and maybe you're sipping on that cup of coffee. I'm on my second cup of the day. Enjoying my Thursday, the 3rd of September. Maybe it's your birthday today. If it is, happy birthday to you. And if it's someone that you know coming up, they've got a birthday coming up, let us know. We'd love to celebrate with you their life. I think that's very important. And so send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. Let us know, and we'll celebrate together. How's that? And excited about today and having Josh. Good morning, Josh. Josh is my co-host
morning.
Today. We're making this a thing now, right?
Like we are here.
Thursday or Friday, you're going to come in and we're going to hit the topics of the day. And boy, it doesn't take long. I mean, it seems like you were just here last week, and here you are again. And there's lots to talk about today.
There's so much going on, and it's rapidly speeding up, and it's just unbelievable.
Did you have a chance at all? Maybe our listeners are continuing the conversation from the first hour when Jeff was talking about all the stuff that's going on, and should we ask the Republican leadership to step down or step aside because of their failed attempt to recall Kate Brown? I don't know if you caught any of that conversation.
I didn't catch it this morning, no.
Yes, and it was a lively conversation and a lot of insight. And here's where I'm at on that. I understand where people are frustrated. A lot of people put a lot of time and effort. I think of our friend Scott who put a lot of time and effort into collecting petitions and thought, man, if I had access to more sheets, I could have done more. We all could have done more. I know I traveled all around trying to get signatures of friends and people that I knew in different areas because it mattered that much, you know, to make sure. But I'm of the opinion we have this momentum going, and we have a lot of people now that are engaged that haven't been. And so I think we need to funnel that information. And my advice and my encouragement to Bill and the leadership in the Republican Party would be continue communicating, continue to get active, get behind these candidates who, one, are having a hard time fundraising because anybody that would contribute to them in this area have been affected by the shutdown, which I think is part of the plandemic, right? And two, you know, the momentum spread among your friends and family who these candidates are. And if you have an opportunity to interact at all with them or invite them to something that's already happening in your community, invite them down and host them and let them meet people in your community. Don't you agree there?
I completely agree. And, you know, as interesting as the times that we're in right now and how everybody's lives and routines and everything has essentially been dismantled. And so we're basically having to recreate a new life and how we're operating and stuff. We kind of brushed on this a couple weeks ago, but having that ability and extra time potentially to be able to devote things like this, to devote them to candidates and programs and other things, taking our extra time, kind of digging deeper and realizing that, you know, our future is dependent on this, and we have to take action and get involved with our own lives and our own future and get behind some of these candidates to really, you know, push the opportunity for us to make a change and get what we need.
And I keep saying this, and I'm hitting that drum over and over again, but insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And here in Oregon, if we want more of the same, don't change a thing, right?
And if you want the controlled opposition Republicans to do or act on your behalf, then, you know, I got a bridge to sell you because, you know, they've been in office for just as long as some of these Democrats. And, you know, they make a big stink and kind of tell you what you want to hear. But, you know, how long and how often? Granted, their hands are tied. We're in a blue state. There's some challenges surrounding it. But, you know, I think it's time to get some new blood in there and get some activity and some more activists and more people that are looking out for the people.
My investigating. I was investigating the other day about Kate Brown. You know, you hear her first election, she won by 7 votes. 7 votes, the very first time she got in. And I'm thinking, okay, I want to know, I want a little history on Kate Brown. And I want to know, when exactly was that?
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses as to the first year she was elected and what exactly she was doing?
Nope.
Okay.
90s.
So, oh, you're pretty close there. 91.
Sounds
Kate
right.
Brown has been in government office since 1991. She served in the House. She served in the Senate. Of course, then she was Secretary of State. And because she was Secretary of State, when the governor had to resign because of impropriety there in activities in his, I believe, from what I understand.
How convenient.
Uh-huh. And no lieutenant governor here. So then she rolled up to there and then was appointed, or however that works. And then she was confirmed by the Senate. And then she was reelected as an incumbent, which is always an advantage. So, strategy. Let's talk a little bit about strategy. Now, Josh, I think you know this because you and I have talked about a little bit of that. I have kind of a grassroots background, right? And have worked in campaigns. In fact, I was a community organizer before that was a bad word, thanks to Obama, back in the day for American Cancer Society, where we worked on tobacco-free indoor air stuff back in the early 2000 area. So, one of the things that you look at and you evaluate when you want to move and change people is you make it where, are you comfortable? Do you like what's going on right now? What will you do about it? What are you willing to do? Because some of it is, and I think about this petition, this recall petition. Here is a reality in Oregon. It's not a myth or fiction. If you work for the state, in the state of Oregon, in any capacity where you draw a paycheck from a governmental office and your name is identified, and I firmly believe this, there are people who've shared with me they do not want to sign a petition because they don't want it to be found out that they are against the governor publicly. There is a price to pay. What kind of governor is that that's so punitive and so horrific like that? And we've seen it in our day-to-day life. I mean, I'm feeling the pressure and I don't even know her, you know?
Yeah.
So that pain of change, what are you willing to do to get out of that, right?
Well, I'm willing to put everything on the line. And I think that I've shown that. And we're doing and trying to navigate these waters. Obviously, you know, I don't have a political background. I'm not involved in any political party or, you know, I'm registered as a Republican, but I'm operating more as an independent because I think that is the future. I think that's what people are longing for. And people are starting to realize this two-party system that's going on, not that it's bad, but definitely in Oregon, they're not working or working even on behalf of the people.
Exactly.
There's a small minority that are just going along with their agendas, despite what we say, despite what kind of petitions we put together, despite anything. They are legitimately just going forward and pretending that they didn't see it. And there's no oversight to the overseers.
Mm.
And that's been kind of an issue. That's an issue with the mail-in ballot system, you know, with Oregon. How is it that, you know, we have never really gotten off of this problem since we moved to mail-in ballots? And, you know, I'm looking around, I'm seeing a lot more conservatives, I'm seeing a lot more Republicans and people that, you know, have common sense and everything else. Granted, there's the other side of things, but I'm not very biased. I'm not, I'm just going out and trying to explore and find these people. And I'm not seeing how somebody has voted for somebody like Kate Brown because her agendas and her beliefs, I don't see it. I don't see a lot of people that even are in parallel with her.
Right.
And so, you know, and I see and I'm exposed to a lot of people. So it's really interesting and telling to me how she barely won. And I heard in 2016 when she was revoted in that, you know, she won by 51%.
Oh,
you know, and so there was a push. And if you look at, you know, the voter turnouts, most of our state is actually red.
Right.
And it's not that, you know, red is better, but red people tend to have more common sense mm-hmm. and just kind of a sense of reality that vote for Republican is my experience.
And grounded. I believe that there's a little more grounding. It tends to be more my experience have been in my years is that those who have risked their livelihood, started a business, startup, they worked in business, they tend to be more Republican. And those that are, what I will say, have inherited wealth, mm-hmm. maybe trust babies, who
state workers.
Haven't had, or are state workers, union guys, mm-hmm. gals, tend to be more Democrat. And they're voting their pocketbook, or they're being told what they need to do, and fear is being used.
Essentially because they have no skin in the game. So
exactly.
When you have a job and you're guaranteed a job and you know you can't get fired, mm-hmm. you don't really care about anything else.
Exactly.
You care. Yeah, you go to your job. You're living in a bubble. If your life is not threatened or on the line, which like some of these, I wouldn't even say Republicans, I'm just saying people. Americans, Oregonians, people's lives have drastically changed besides the state workers. So the state workers, yeah, they go home now and they work from home, mm-hmm. right? And they work for home for a week and then they go to the office maybe one day a week or whatever. But their life hasn't changed. Their pocketbooks haven't changed. Things haven't been affected to where on the flip side, I have friends and people and employees even that I've taken on mm-hmm. from this COVID situation to where they flat out walked in and lost their job.
Yep.
Their employer said, hey, we can't afford you anymore. All these shutdowns, half of our income has completely deplenished and or diminished and,
I'm sorry. This is where we're at.
I know I promised you that I'd mm-hmm. help you out and this and that, but you're done.
Yep.
And if you can imagine how that feels and what you do, you can't go door to door anymore mm-hmm. and go shopping. You got to go online and do this recruitment process. And I mean, companies even like Comcast and everybody, it seems like everybody's using this as an excuse to lay people off.
Yep.
And how that isn't apparent anymore is just beyond me. And so the voting polls, I think, are actually swayed super Republican mm-hmm. in every way. However, they're literally hijacking the system on how that voting process is being done. And so there's no oversight over the overseers.
That is so very true. In fact, even that open door policy, open meeting policy, speaking of which, there's a meeting today, the 3rd, at the State House on the unemployment failure going on, and even to participate you had to pre-register and all of that. Yep. How did people even know about it? I just found out about it and it was way too late. So we're going to continue the conversation. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Josh and Stacey Ann hanging out with you this morning. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. Oh, indeed, it is a great morning. What are you thinking of this warmer weather?
I'll tell you, this morning I missed that warm, crisp, kind of chilly. It wasn't there this morning.
It wasn't there. And even though it's 61 degrees right now in the studio, it wasn't as warm as it was yesterday. And today it's going to get even warmer. Yes, 96 degrees.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. That's almost like, that's like Arizona or Phoenix.
Well, I think it's more
area.
Humid, too, so
and
it might feel
humid.
Hotter.
And it's humid. It may be a little more like Arkansas. And continuing through the weekend, we'll see temperatures Friday, 88, 84 on Saturday, up to 91, mm-hmm. particularly on Sunday. And, of course, this weekend, is the traditionally a three-day weekend, right? But everything's so thrown off with, I'm so thrown off, Josh, by normally kids would be practicing for football. Mm-hmm. You go by the
school supply and shopping and school clothes. And
you think about the economic impact of just that, right? And how that is affecting everything, you know, in our routines and how we process things. And one of the things that you and I were kind of just now talking off the air that I think is really important, how to help these candidates, right? Mm-hmm. These candidates who, in the normal political scheme of things, and I know this because I was a West River director of a congressional candidate back in 2004. His name was Larry Dietrich, and he was running. There was an open seat, and so the Democrats and Republicans had to fill in the short term and then go for the longer term. And so there was two campaigns back to back, essentially. And if you don't raise enough money locally, the national folks won't come in with their resources. They think you're a non-candidate.
Sure.
And what's really difficult for these local candidates, and I'm saying local meaning they're Oregon candidates, maybe they're going for Congress or mm-hmm. Senate. So we think about our local gal here, Amy Ryan Courser. We mm-hmm. think about our Senate, Joe Ray Perkins, and they're trying to get national attention. And the people they're running against are like, they're absent. Like, they're incumbents. They don't have to do anything. They yep. have the advantage of being an incumbent. And I will say, they've been doing the same thing, and we've been putting up with it, and it's time for something different. So I think our people are poised. Because people
agree.
Are upset. Mm-hmm. So what do they do to get known? How, I know that there's the political book, right? The pamphlet, the well-known pamphlet that says you look at it and you see their picture and you read what they're, you know, they're for and against or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's an Oregon thing. Mm-hmm. Anywhere I've been before, that's not been
that
a thing.
With the description and the summary.
Right. You just go to their website.
You have an opportunity.
And,
and that's honestly where a lot of people, locally anyway, are meeting their candidates for the first time, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because it's harder to market. And I don't know if you saw yesterday, Facebook announced that they're going to actually disable political advertising 30 days before the election.
Yes. And that's usually when people have the biggest push is in the last 30 days.
And a lot of the local candidates especially, that's where they dump all their money in, mm-hmm. is those last 60-day, 30-day push. And the fact that Facebook's doing that, that's election meddling, if you ask me.
Yep.
And so it's just a really interesting time, and everybody's really exposing their hand. These tech giants are exposing their hand with how fraudulent they really are, because they're still allowing the viral political mm-hmm, videos mm-hmm. and their commentators and their creators and the YouTube creating network and things like that. They're still allowing that stuff to go through when people are able to speak on behalf of the Democrats or talking mm-hmm. about how great Joe Biden is.
Right.
They allow that to go through. But then anything else are like, oh, no, you know, that's political advertising and we don't want to meddle in the elections. Yet oppression is meddling as well.
Well, and there's more evidence of it than there ever will be of,
it's right in our face.
Russia or Ukraine or
yeah.
some of these other
way
countries.
Worse.
Hello. And I put a post this morning, two posts back to back on my personal Facebook page about Parler.
Mm-hmm.
And this new app that's supposed to be, in fact, Levin and Gallagher and Sean Hannity, a lot of them, Laura Ingraham, a lot of the conservative talk, they're using this venue or an app.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's similar to Facebook.
Yes.
It's called Parler. It's great.
Yes. And
yeah.
so I want to encourage you to look it up. And while there's videos available through YouTube, who knows how long that'll be, you can even learn how to use it by watching a YouTube video. That is where everybody's going to stay connected, stay informed, those kinds of things. But back to helping our elected leaders, what are we going to do about this? I really think it's so important that we get these elected leaders like Amy and Joe Ray
yes.
and Alec down south, you know, that you do your part, friends, in telling people how you're voting and why, and know why you're voting, and ask them, how are you voting? What do you know? What kind of information do you need? Are you absolutely on a scale of 1 to 10, kind of like a sales thing?
Yeah.
You know, we can do that. We can do our part and make sure people are registered to vote. Make sure your voter registration's current, all of those things.
Mm-hmm. yeah, and update your address and all that stuff if you've moved recently. I know a lot of people are moving right now. And yeah, just get behind these candidates and maybe reach out to these candidates too. Ask them questions if you're curious. Hey, what are you about? What's your stance on this? How do you feel about this? I'm sure a lot of these people would be more than happy to talk to you about that.
Absolutely.
And to tell you, and just get involved. I'll tell you, you know, in the short time that I've been in this political atmosphere locally anyway, a lot of these people, you know, you can see them on TV, even Kate Brown, you know, and everything else. They're just regular people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you can peer behind the curtain and meet these people in person and or talk to them, realize that they're just like you in a lot of ways. And so talking to them and understanding that, you know, they're trying to figure it out just as much as you are, and we're in a different realm. But don't be scared to get involved or to reach out or to write a letter or, you know, do your part. We all do our part as a community, and that's kind of the American system.
And the other thing too, on fundraising, I want to say, you may think, well, I don't have the thousands of dollars to support a candidate. I don't have, you know, start where you can. If you have $5,
absolutely.
If you have $10, if you have $25, $100 would go a long ways.
Absolutely.
And so I encourage you, it'll help them get mailers out. It'll help them get phone lists to call people. All of that makes a difference. We're going to continue the conversation. Thank you, Josh, for hanging out with me this morning. We're having fun. We're going to turn a corner at the bottom of the hour. We're going to start talking a little bit about human trafficking and how much of a crisis that is right here in the Pacific Northwest. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So glad to have you along on this Thursday. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Want to remind you, our website, kslm.news, will have this show recorded and on a podcast that you can share with your friends and family on social media. And I want to remind you, too, like our Facebook page, KSLM Radio. A shout out to today's show sponsor, Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. Give him a call, 503-885-0789. And we've been talking politics and all of that. We're going to turn a corner now and talk a little bit about something that's kind of somber and the reality of what's going on. And it's interesting. I just saw a headline where 30-some children and young people were rescued in human trafficking. Did you see that in the mainstream media at all? No, you didn't, because everybody's all talking about politics and stuff. And we have a real crisis in America and all around the world. Human trafficking, human slavery is a real thing. And I've actually had conversations with people. Oh, no, not in this modern day. This isn't happening. And friends, I know people personally. I know people personally, and it's even difficult to talk about, that have recovered, who've been rescued, who had memories as adults of things that happened to them as children under the care of their family.
Yep.
And it's real, and it's difficult subject to talk about, but it's real. And the cool thing is people are standing up every single day. Victims who themselves have recovered and gotten help are helping others. I have friends, coworkers, former coworkers back in South Dakota. They've started an organization called Treasured Lives, and they go around the country speaking and ministering to others that have been impacted, and build awareness and written books and all kinds of lovely things. And Treasured Lives, look that up. We'll put a link up about that a little bit later. But here locally, the Pacific Northwest, we have people working really diligently and hard at it. And Josh, you have a friend on the line that you want to introduce and talk. Give us a little background on this.
Yeah, so this is Josh Buchwald. I've met him doing some of the events that we're doing, and he's a very passionate guy. He's really active in the community in regards to the human trafficking side of things. And he's part of a group called Call to Rescue. And their mission is 24/7 watch for missing and abused children. They want to educate people on trafficking. the ways children are being taken, how to get children back into their safety, to help establish a civilian task force in every state and metropolitan area in the U.S. I mean, this is a real issue, and Josh is one of the guys kind of locally taking a part of that. And, you know, the one thing that we got to think about, too, is with this lockdown, you know, kids are, you know, they used to use school as an outlet. And now they're at home, and I mean, there's just a lot of other issues surrounding that we haven't even seen yet, because we all haven't come out of the trees. But we got Josh on the line here. Josh Buchwald, how are you? Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you just fine. How's it going?
Doing great, doing great. We know you were trying to meet it in here this morning, and you couldn't quite make it, but we're happy to have you on the phone. Tell us about your Call to Rescue mission and what you guys are and what you do.
So Call to Rescue is an international and national organization that I joined more recently. Before this, I was working with a local organization here in Lane County called One's Purpose and Hope Ranch Ministries. Our focus there was for aftercare for the victims that have been rescued or have found a way out of the sick, disgusting evil that they've found themselves in.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you, people, you know, a lot of people are like not aware of the actual trafficking that's going on locally. Could you kind of elaborate and give us maybe some numbers and give people kind of a perspective with what's happening in right in our backyard?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people don't know this about the state of Oregon. We, as of 2018, 2019, we were the sixth leading state in the United States for child prostitution and sex trafficking. So that just gives you an idea about all 50 states that we're number six here in Oregon. And, you know, for an even more grotesque number that's going to scare a lot of people is Portland, Oregon is the number two city in the country for child prostitution.
Wow.
That's very scary numbers when you start thinking about, you know, our little state here. And,
let me ask you a couple questions. Hello, by the way, and thank you for your work.
Hi.
My question to you is, when I hear this and I've visited with people, child prostitution, what are you talking about? I don't see children standing on the streets selling their body. I mean, their mental image of prostitution is willing adults participating in an illegal activity for profit. That's kind of the definition in a lot of people's minds. Go a little deeper and talk about what's actually happening here.
Well, before I go a little deeper, I'll kind of just cover what you just said about child prostitution. So, you know, the media would have us believe that these are underage adults or underage girls or underage boys, which in turn, what does that really even mean? You know, when we talk about underage or we hear those words, it takes away than what they are. They're children. Anyone 17 years or younger in age is a child. And to get to your point of you know, what the prostitution side of this looks like is, you know, these people are being forced into doing something that they don't want to do. And they don't have any means of getting out of it. You know, a lot of these times these traffickers are getting strung out on drugs. So they're now working for a drug habit. And there's so many different ways that these traffickers keep working, essentially being working.
That's exactly right. That's my experience, Josh, is that a lot of these kids are being groomed. Sometimes they're being utilized through relationships of the mother, the single mother or the single father.
Yep.
And there's drugs and alcohol going on, and the kids are being told, you know, they're still in their families even, and they're being told, if you tell anybody about any of this, you know, we're going to hurt your family, and they're groomed.
Yeah.
And all of that. Go ahead.
In some cases it's the family member.
Yes.
That's involved, with that. And, you know, I've had some experiences. I sat on the grand jury here in Marion County, and they said one of the hot zones was right on Market Street and right off of I-5. The whole I-5 corridor is a hot zone. And this gal came in and she was testifying. She was 15. She was in the child sex trafficking. The DA basically said that it was suspected that her dad was actually one of the head guys.
Mm.
She was in trouble. she came in shackles or whatever and had to testify. But basically, somebody came in the next day and dropped $25,000 and put her on bail. Mm. So it's a real problem here, and we're really happy, Josh, that there are people like you out there actively taking a role and taking a stand and getting involved with some of these things. You know, it's kind of the underbelly armpit and kind of dark side of our culture, and we feel it's really important that people like you and our listeners to kind of get in more involved and be aware of this.
What is your website, Josh?
It is calledtorescue.org. That's CALLED2TO rescue, RESCUE.org. So calledtorescue.org.
Can you give us a hint? Give us one thing that we can do as individuals, that our listeners can do to be aware of a potential at-risk child within our vicinity. How do we be aware? What can we do and look for?
I think it really needs to start at home. You know, the problem is, and Josh mentioned this before I came on, of, you know, we have a ton of children at home right now, and, you know, they're literally being groomed because they're online all the time. Parents are being forced to have their children be babysat by technology right now. And it's because you have to have two members of the family working to support the family. And then who's there to care for these children? You know, when they go back to school, what are parents going to do? Mm. So, you know, really where it needs to start is monitoring where our kids are going online, you know, because that's where a lot of these children are grown, is online. There's so many different outlets, so many different platforms that these traffickers.
So you're telling me that
prey on.
So you're telling me that the kids are going online, getting on their TikTok videos or YouTube or something like that, and then there's a recruitment process happening to where
Absolutely.
These people are reaching out to them and getting in touch with them. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And it just starts with an innocent conversation, you know, and that's how grooming starts in these cases. And I think a lot of people relate this trafficking to kidnapping and that sort of thing. And it's not as if that doesn't go on. It certainly does. But the majority of it is a grooming process. That may take weeks, months, years in some cases.
Well, and something
to get that child comfortable enough to doing the act that they want.
Something that I've noticed since coming back to the Pacific Northwest, I went to high school here, and I've been back now about 6 months. And something that I've noticed on social media is, and on some of the Crime Watch social media forums or whatever, is I see people saying, be aware, there was an attempted kidnapping, there was attempted abduction. A lot of this is going on in our communities, of women like leaving their coffee shop where they work, or mm-hmm. young women, like college age women, people just disappearing. And you don't hear that on the mainstream media. And it is something that's happening, so that we need to be aware of these things. We need to be vigilant, not be in fear, but be vigilant. But these things are happening here in the Pacific Northwest.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it's really important. If the mainstream media is not going to cover this, then it's important for us to do it on social media.
Yeah.
We have just as much power on social media. If, you know, what I've noticed since I've got involved in this is the amount of awareness that's being brought out on social media.
That's
now,
great.
I can't scroll through Facebook. About every fourth or fifth post is something about human trafficking.
That's awesome, Josh.
Phenomenal. I can't thank people enough for standing up.
We're going to jump into a break, and then we'll get right back to you guys. Stay tuned, okay? Thank you.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning. Step in on my way.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. We're having a great discussion this morning talking about human trafficking, and it's a real problem in not only the Pacific Northwest, in America, all around the country, and we're raising up awareness. And we have places where people can go, rescued victims go, and it really is, and we've got Josh on the line, and I've got Josh in studio. We got Josh Man. And Josh in stereo right here. And Josh, I wanted to ask you a question about the healing process, because in a sense, these victims have been programmed. They have been conditioned and programmed, and it's not like It's not easy to get them reoriented and get that thinking squared around in a place where they can contribute and feel confident going back into life and working and feel safe. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. And it's one of my goals is to find more behavioral health services for these victims. Recently, I partnered with a nonprofit here in Lane County that provides medical care as well as behavioral health for the organization that I'm a part of. So finding these resources is coming, but it's a work in progress.
Yep. And so just for people that are joining right now, calledtorescue.org is the website. And we got Josh Buchwald on the line here talking about human trafficking within our local community and resources that we could have. So if there's people out there that are listening and don't know where to go or don't know who to talk to, or start with calledtorescue.org and visit that site and reach out to them if you guys need anything. So, Josh, as far as like what you've seen, as far as progression for with what's going on now, have you seen an influx in activity or anything like that in the past year or so with your organization?
I have, and what I'm really noticing is just the amount of awareness that's being brought on social media. You know, I don't know if it was heard before the break, but what I was talking about was, you know, I can't scroll now more than four or five posts and not see something about human trafficking. You know, you guys mentioned earlier about the 39 children that were saved in Georgia. There was another one in Ohio that was equivalent to about the same amount of kids. In fact, I think it was close to 100, actually.
Wow.
So there's task force that are being started. There have been started for a few years now that are starting to really make a lot of progress. Another organization I really want to mention that does a lot is Operation Underground Railroad.
Mm. Yes.
Operation Underground Railroad is ran by Tim Ballard, who is an amazing American, definitely a person I aspire to be. He's done phenomenal things, rescued thousands of children and made thousands of arrests.
You know, here's something too that's interesting right now, because it's all in the media talking about the national sports leagues, right? That are you know, caught up in all this, you know, trying to get attention, trying to recoup from the shutdown for one. But talk to us a little bit about how these national events, like Super Bowls and things like that, tend to be just a cesspool of human trafficking and trouble.
Well, you know, you think about crowds, and really what I want to touch on, you think about crowds in the sense that there's just so much confusion that goes on when you got that many people together. You know, I live in Eugene, Oregon, and we have U of O football games, stuff football games, and, you know, I want to say every season there's at least five rapes that take place after the games. It gives the predators a place to prey, it gives them a place to hide in the shadows, and then pounce on their victims. So,
well, I think
something that needs to be talked about though is this whole mask wearing thing, you know, and how are we going to identify our children?
Yep.
If everyone's wearing masks, you know, it really just gives an open field for these predators to prey.
Mm.
Yep. And who's the what political party is the most predator? Democrats.
Yeah. So when you talk about children and we talk about the predatory things that happen in human trafficking, one of the things I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the online porn and the addiction and the images of children and the images of women under the age and those kinds of things, and how that is fueling these behaviors, these addictive behaviors of men.
Desensitizing.
Mm-hmm.
It very much desensitizes. So one thing I like to say is that it's not child pornography, it's child rape on film.
Yes.
You know, we wrap this thing, pornography, around it to make it a little bit more acceptable. I mean, it's not acceptable at all. It's just child rape on film. So one thing I like to say in regards to child pornography.
And
the other thing, a lot of people don't know this, the United States is the highest demand of child pornography. So we are the demand. So you have a supply coming from around the world to come into this country.
It's disturbing, and one of the things that we can do, I believe, is look at the laws and what do the laws say. And then you have places like California and different places that are making it decriminalizing sexual deviance with children. I'm just dumbfounded by the fact that through the legal system they're taking away the teeth to be able to fight in court.
Yeah.
to have some sort of hammer come down on these people that are mistreating and human trafficking, basically.
And I think that's probably one of the challenges tied in with, you know, these organizations of gaining ground and gaining that mainstream push. And granted, thank God for social media and being able to push that. But a lot of this trafficking and, you know, these predators, the kids are being used as a currency. It's really, in part, there's a lot of global and elitists and people in power that are actually utilizing these kids as a favor and a currency and everything else. So it is a really big problem, you know, when you have the gatekeepers, in most cases, are the ones that are enacting in some of these crimes and
the gatekeepers like are the perpetuating this situation as well and making it easier,
yeah,
in a sense. And Josh, I thank you so much. What's your website one more time?
It's calltorescue.org.
Calltorescue.org. We want to have you in the studio real soon. Will you join us in
the
studio?
Love that.
We'd love to have it.
I would love to come in, yep, and actually have a real deep conversation about this.
And maybe we can do a training in the community too and build awareness.
You know, The people in power are the ones that are controlling this. You know, 70% of foster children will be sexually abused in the foster care system. These are laws that need to change. You know,
I agree.
One of my goals is to form legislation and lobbying to get these laws changed and have stricter laws on these predators.
Well, count us in. Josh and I are there with you. We'll help wherever we can.
100%.
Thank you for your time. And you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
And
thank you so much, you guys. I appreciate it.
We've enjoyed our conversation today. I know we stirred the pot. I see a few people on the phone waiting to join the conversation. Unfortunately, we're wrapping up for today. But send me your comments. Send me your comments in email, and I'll read them tomorrow morning. Stacey, Stacey, at KSLM.news.
KSLM.news.
And maybe we should go to 2 hours, Josh. What do you think?
I'm thinking that sounds good.
Yeah, maybe about the 1st of October we'll go to 2 hours. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful Thursday. Have a fantastic Thursday. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you're an overcomer. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.